This is Mac Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Matt. It's great to be back.
You know, as we approach the end of the year, I wanted to take a look back. 2010 was a very long year, and there were a number of vulnerabilities, some of which were very notable. So I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think was probably the most notable vulnerability in 2010.
So do I have to limit it to vulnerabilities, or can we cover computer security stories at large?
Security stories at large is perfect.
Okay. There's really, really tight competition here, but I think the Stuxnet worm has to be the most notable story of the year. It has vulnerabilities, multiple vulnerabilities. It has international intrigue with people questioning whether or not this is cyber war. It demonstrates the weakness of the world's infrastructure. I mean, not just Iran, not just the U.S., but in general, that critical systems are overexposed to attack. And Stuxnet used, I believe it was 4 zero-day vulnerabilities. One of them was incredible, where you could just put a USB drive into a Windows computer and essentially you were infected without even having auto-run enabled. So, you know, I'd say that Stuxnet wins by a hair, but one of the late emerging stories really is WikiLeaks.
Right.
And the thing about WikiLeaks is that it shows how little used encryption is. You know, millions and millions of government documents were leaked, and some people may actually say that was a good thing. Regardless of your political viewpoints, it does show that encryption is highly underused. And I wouldn't say that this is a case where, you know, it's the government, what do you expect? Businesses are at least as bad at deploying the technology as the government.
Right. What other vulnerabilities were notable for the past year? And I guess also, which do you think will probably have the biggest impact moving forward as well?
Okay, well, you know, sometimes the vulnerability isn't really the story. Operation Aurora was a huge story this year as well. And while Operation Aurora involved vulnerabilities in Internet Explorer, we're talking Internet Explorer 6. And the issue was that companies like Google are using highly flawed, highly outdated software and failing to keep up with good security practices. So, you know, the vulnerability wasn't the story here. The story was that companies are failing to update their systems as they should be. And last year, you know, the year before this year, it was the Conficker worm, which continues to dominate headlines and continues to be the poster child of poor patch management practices.
Right.
Going forward, you know, what we're going to see most of is what we've already seen, because there's too many customers out there that are not updating their software. Old vulnerabilities are still highly effective, and that's why you see them in all these vulnerability kits that you can download from the web and make anyone into a hacker with little experience. So, yeah, we're going to see new vulnerabilities come out. We'll see attacks on smartphones and non-Windows devices as well, but it's really the lack of patch management, the lack of people keeping their systems up to date that is going to drive the compromises next year.
Well, in terms of platforms like Twitter or Facebook or other sites for that matter, what was some of the biggest security concerns from a website or a breach perspective?
Well, there was a huge cross-site scripting flaw in Twitter back around September, and it's estimated that up to 500,000 users were affected. We've seen Facebook make changes that are by design, not by flaw, that just don't make any sense. For example, now you can add anyone to a group without their consent. And the thought coming from Facebook is, well, you trust your friends, they're not going to add you to groups without your consent that you don't want to belong to. But the truth of the matter is, the average Facebook user has over 130 quote-unquote friends and doesn't know most of these people.
Right.
And then, you know, Facebook uses some incredibly incomprehensible security techniques. For example, they have you pick identify five of your friends as a security challenge from their pictures. But the average user has so many quote-unquote friends that they aren't likely to know what they all look like.
Right.
So, you know, there have been a number of, you know, kube face infections, which affect a number of social networking sites. You know, cross-site scripting flaws, not just Twitter, it affects a variety of sites. But it's really the lack of security on social networking sites that's really driving a lot of the problems. And, you know, FireSheep that we talked about a few weeks ago is a great example of where the problems are and how far behind the curve social networking sites really are.
Great. Well, Randy, anything else about 2010 that's worth noting?
Oh, I think what's worth noting is the people that actually learned to keep their software up to date and check and make sure they've got current versions and change their passwords and use good passwords are the people that are much better protected than the average internet user. And so, you know, kudos to those people that are actually doing something to make the internet safer for all of us.
Well, Randy, as always, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today, taking a look back at 2010. And join us next time on the Malware Report, where we will get Randy's thoughts on 2011. This has been Matt Gratt, and you're listening to the Malware Report.